So has your leg or your arm ever fallen asleep? You know, you're just kind of sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, it gets the tingles and you can't feel anything. Maybe you curled up on the sofa and you were going to do a Lord of the Rings or Hobbit marathon, you know, going to be there for 15, 25 hours watching movies, you know, and you have your popcorn, or maybe you're going to binge watch a season of, you know, Airwolf, or Hanging with Mr. Cooper, or Bluey, or Milo, or Camp Snoopy, or something, and you sit there so long that eventually your leg just doesn't move. You haven't moved in so long. Or maybe it's one of those things where you crawl in the bed about 9 o'clock at night, and you thought, man, I'm just going to spend a few minutes scrolling, you know. Next thing you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You wake up, and what started is just, you know, scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or, you know, your old MySpace account. You know, you're looking for some way to make the grass greener, make the house cleaner, make your gut leaner, make your monster truck meaner, you know, whatever it is you're trying to find. And all of a sudden, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You wake up, your phone's in your mouth, it's covered with drool, your arm is tucked up under your ankle somehow, and it's asleep. It's just not moving. That tingly feeling, from a medical standpoint, is called paresthesis. And what it is it's when your nerves are compressed or irritated, and it begins to cause problems with your nervous system. We've all experienced it one time or another, even just a little bit. But what if it's not your arm or your leg falling asleep? What if your life kind of feels like it's falling asleep? That there's something about your emotions and your attitude that's being compressed and irritated. Something that's weighing you down, where your soul, your spirit, your heart, your mind feels paralyzed with some paresthesis. What do we do then? Well, we've all had moments like that, right? Maybe it was an hour. Maybe it was a day, a week, a month. Maybe it was a season where we just felt overwhelmed. We felt compressed and irritated. Is there anything that can help days like that, moments like that, seasons like that? Well, there is. We continue our series, For Your Good, where we are engaging with a type of training that by its very design is supposed to release our attitude from being asleep to being alive. Our message today is called Good Strength. And we're going to be looking in the Bible at the letter to the Hebrews. And we begin in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. It says this, "Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble." The sentence right before this describes how discipline and training, it's not always fun. The discipline and training can be unpleasant. So what are discipline and training? Well, simply put, discipline and training is instruction and or activities that are designed to lead to good habits. But this letter to the Hebrews, of course, is writing to believers and followers of Jesus. So Hebrews is trying to point us not just in the direction of good habits, but godly habits. And godly habits, by their nature, are good. And those good and godly habits come from the discipline and training of the Lord. Now, there's a temptation to hear the discipline of the Lord and think, oh, well, you know, God's like the mean bully from elementary school, you know, beating up the small kids. No, that's not God's character. In fact, the discipline and training of the Lord, it is for our good, especially when it is difficult, especially when it's hard, especially when it's painful, especially when there's some hurt or some suffering. That discipline is for our good. The worst moments in our lives under the umbrella of salvation in Jesus Christ are not only for our good, they are creating good. How? Well, about 30 years after Jesus was crucified, the Apostle Paul was writing to some folks in a place in Rome, and this is what he wrote to them. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So who are the ones here that are loving God? The ones that are loving God are the ones that are loving his son, Jesus. The ones who are believing in and relying on and trusting in, clinging to Jesus Christ and the truth about Jesus Christ as their ultimate truth over everything in life and also their ultimate hope in death after life. Do you love God like that? Not generally speaking, do you love God, but do you love God by first and most loving and believing in and following Jesus? Have you truly repented of sin and rebellion against God and his ways and turned toward Jesus? Look, none of us are perfect, okay? But have you truly turned from making sin one of your greatest treasures in life to making Jesus your greatest treasure, your greatest joy in life? As Sammy read at the beginning of the service, have you made the leap of joy away from sin and to Christ? If so, then you are called according to God's purpose. And what is God's purpose for you? Well, God's purpose is for you to be holy and to be with him. For you to be holy here, and for you to be with him forever. That's the picture we see throughout the Bible. To be more and more like Jesus here so that we will be ready more and more to be with Jesus forever. What does a young wife do when she finds out she's pregnant? Does she go, oh man, can we get this thing over with so I can grab some more gelato and get back to TikTok and Instagram because I really need to see some more people try on clothes. I need some more fit advice, and I really need some more creative protein recipes because that's what I need most. No. No, what does she do? That woman begins to dream. She begins to dream about that baby. She begins to dream about names for the baby, the paint color of the room, which size diaper Genie to register for. Boy, she begins to dream and think about that baby. There is something about the very nature of the gospel of Jesus Christ that if we claim to be Christians, we should be dreaming about eternity with Christ. We should be readying our heart for that. Listen, even the most self-absorbed, reckless, pregnant mother dreams about that baby. And we too, as believers, we should dream about God's purpose in our life. We should long for what we've actually been created for. And what we've been created for is to be holy here and to be with him forever. Throughout the New Testament particularly, we see this purpose that we would enjoy Jesus Christ as we live this life, and then we would enjoy Jesus Christ forever. Now that's not always a perfect path, right? We noted last week that God did not promise us smooth sailing in this life. But part of what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ is that we are 100% in Christ. We're connected with Christ. There's no disconnect. And to be 100% in Christ means that although it may not be smooth sailing, there will be a safe landing. And how do we know that? A few sentences later, Paul said this, Romans 8:38 and 39, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Dear Christian, there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. There is no rebellious child. There is no frustrating spouse. There is no overbearing parent. There is no one at work, no one at school, no one at home. There's no crippling disease. There's no crippling finances. There's no government shutdown. There's no difficulty, no suffering, no pain, no hurt that can ever separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. It can't happen. And that's why we say it will be a safe landing. The discipline and training of the Lord is designed, even through the difficult parts, through the painful parts, to teach us to see and know and learn and experience that even in that difficulty, there is no way that the training will not ultimately be pleasant, because there is no way for the training to not lead to a safe landing. But it's not pleasant in the moment, right? Doing flashcards for a math test, it ain't pleasant. It ain't. I ain't done flashcards in 35 years. I still hate it right now, you know? I mean, it ain't, it's fresh. You know, it's fresh. It's not pleasant. But you know what? When you do good on the math test, man, it builds some mathematical confidence, right? Going to boot camp, it ain't pleasant. You know, you talk to anybody who's been in boot camp, it ain't pleasant. But when you graduate from boot camp, it creates this military confidence, and really, it creates much more than military confidence. That diet, that exercise plan, it ain't pleasant. We don't like it. But that training, that discipline, leads to that moment that those parachute pants you kept from high school, man, they fit again, right? And all of a sudden, man, it's like merry-go-round at the mall memory, man. It builds this confidence. Man, I can do this. How much more so with the discipline and training of the Lord that doesn't feel pleasant in the moment, that causes us to say, what are you doing, God? Why is this happening? Why haven't you changed my circumstances? How much more in that moment, when we consider the power and authority that we can never be separated from Christ, how much more should we long for the confidence that that discipline and training would give to us? Discipline and training are not always pleasant, but they are immediately and ultimately for our good. And that's why the letter now says in verse 12, therefore, even though it's not pleasant, because it will produce pleasant and it will produce confidence, therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. One Friday, outside of Jerusalem, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Messiah, was brutally crucified in order to purchase and guarantee our safe landing. And discipline and training, particularly the discipline and training of the Lord, it is for our good because it leads us to that safe landing. So we use the future of that safe landing right now. We use it to say, I know this is going to happen. It's the only thing that is guaranteed. This week, just to put it in a real world thing, my mom has to have an annual certification for her long-term care insurance. And I told her, I said, hey, Mom, I need you to fail this test today, all right? It would be in our benefit. Just fail. Just whatever you need to do to fail, be fantastic. But so we went through this whole process, and it's just something that has to happen every year. But, you know, I drove away, you know, from the assisted living center that night going, you know, I mean, hopefully they'll sign us back up, you know? Hopefully everything will keep going just like it does. But if they don't, well, there'll be a new plan. There's no new plan with Jesus Christ, friends. There's no cancellation of the policy. There's nothing that can happen. Jesus Christ has purchased and guaranteed our safe landing, and nothing and no one can change that. That strengthens our feeble hands and our feeble knees and the weakness of our attitude and everything else we face in life. The language of weak hands and feeble knees here is used in other places in the Bible, and it's just used to describe just being tired, being weary, being worn out. You ever felt tired and weary and worn out? Maybe you feel that way today. You're overwhelmed with whatever's happening in life. Maybe it's something in your marriage. Maybe it's something in your family, something with your kids, something with your parents, with grandparents, something at work, at school, at church. We all have things that they just make us tired. Our hearts and our minds, we just get tired and we get weary. If you're a believer, what Hebrews is inviting us to do is take all of that tired and weary reality, and it is, it's a reality. Take it and filter it through your salvation. And when you do that, what comes out on the other side are these promises that can't change. You are 100% in Christ. You are guaranteed a safe landing. You cannot be separated from Jesus, and you are loved by God. If you're confused on whether or not you are loved by God, just listen to, watch, or see the cross. The story of the cross of Jesus is the most defining way that God has proved his love for you. The letter says strengthen. The word for strengthen here is where we get our word orthopedics. So there's a picture here that says this. When we're tired and weary, our spiritual bones are kind of broken. And so what Hebrews is saying, hey, this is a good opportunity for you to reset your bones. Reset those spiritual bones. In just a few moments, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. This moment where we stop and we remember the body and the blood of Jesus in the bread and the cup. This moment where we bring all of our tiredness, all of our weariness, we bring all of our anger and all of our fear, all of our frustration, all of our confusion, our worry, our stress, our anxiety, we bring all of it. And in the simplicity of that moment, we say, God, help me in this bread and this cup to reset my spiritual bones. Help me to remember what I have in Christ. Help me remember what cannot be taken away from me. Help me to remember that it is in discipline and training, even sometimes through the difficulty, the suffering of difficulty and training, that I remember even in this bread and cup that I will never be separated from Jesus Christ. That it's not possible for that to happen. Because you know, sometimes our spiritual legs and our spiritual arms fall asleep. We get tired. We get weary. Our souls, our spirits, we feel maybe a little bit dead. And it is in the immediate and everlasting promises of God in Jesus Christ that we actually can find strength. The power to strengthen us, set our hearts back, set our minds back, set our souls back, set our spirits back in place. And that can happen in the blink of an eye, or it may take weeks, it may take months, it could take a year, it could take longer. But it is real, it is true. I've shared with you before that when I'm working on my final sermon prep, I think I've shared this with you before, I listen to the same song over and over again. Like, I mean, all day long. The first day I did this, it was What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers. I'm serious. I listened to it for about 8 hours straight, nonstop. Never got tired of it because it was just background noise as I'm working. So I have eclectic taste in music, so it's all over the place. But yesterday, it was a song by a group, I get their name wrong, Mountains in the Sea. And the song was, I Shall Not Want. And it's basically just the words of Psalm 23 put to a little, you know, upbeat techno kind of background music, and it's just, it's a rich thing. And so as I was listening to that yesterday, it began to reset my spiritual bones, especially the part where they would just repeat, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When your spiritual bones feel dislocated, the promise of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, it matters. Josie Dow Welsh Jr. will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because Jesus Christ bore my sin in his own body on a cross so that I could be set free from the curse of sin. I'm not set free from sin. Spend a week with me. You will see I'm not set free from sin. But I've been set free from the curse of sin. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I'm great? No, because Jesus is great. That matters. When we are tired, when we are worn out, that can strengthen our weak knees and our feeble arms. The reality that God has guaranteed and promised in Christ where we will be forever, it matters. And it is in the discipline and the training of the Lord that we get that. Yeah, we're going to be tired. You're going to be weary. But it's in the difficulty, the discipline, the training that we begin to set our spiritual bones back in place. And let me tell you something. I may have gotten all my bones set back in place yesterday, but I may have to do it again today. I may need again today, maybe even in this moment while I'm preaching, my heart may need to hear again, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Does your heart need to hear that, feel that, know that today? We can set our spiritual bones back in place, strengthen ourselves with the reality that we are loved by God and we will dwell in his house forever. And it's not just strengthen. There's something else we can do. Look at verse 13. "And make straight paths for your feet." Strengthen and straighten. It's great, easy hope here. Strengthen and straighten. And that's what the good and great and grand news of the gospel does over and over again. It strengthens us. It straightens us. The word for straighten here, it means to make your feet ready. It means to always be ready to love God and love people. Man, that sounds good, right? But I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes life is hard and it's hard to love God and love people. Our feet aren't always ready. Sometimes we are paralyzed. We have this sense of being compressed and irritated and overwhelmed. So what is this making straight paths for your feet? What does it look like in real life? Jefferson Fisher is a lawyer, podcaster, author. He writes and talks a lot about communication and conflict. And he tells this story about one of his clients, Chuck. And they were in a deposition, and Chuck was being cross-examined by the other lawyer, and the lawyer was asking a question. And the question was something like, "What rate of speed were you going when?" And Chuck cut her off, 40 miles an hour. And she said, "Well, let me finish the whole sentence, you know, before you answer." And so she tried again, got like one or two more words in, 40 miles an hour. You know, Chuck just cut her off again. So again, she said, "Hey, let me get the whole sentence out, and then you can provide an answer." So she tried again. Chuck cut her off, 40 miles an hour. So Jefferson called for a break, and he and Chuck went out in the hallway, and they went down the hall and sat down in some chairs. And after they'd been there just for a second, kind of caught their breath, Jefferson said, "Hey, man, what are y'all doing this weekend?" And Chuck was shocked and confused. What are you talking about? What are you guys doing this weekend? Still a little confused, but kind of trying to get his thoughts together. He's like, "Well, I mean, we're taking the kids to see that new movie where the animals talk." "Oh, you the one that just came out? Yeah, that one. Cool. Hey, how old are your kids again?" "Oh," and a conversation began just for a moment or two. And when they got through talking about the weekend, Jefferson said, "All right, let's go back in there. And this time, I want you to answer her questions the way you just answered my questions." He said, I want you to listen to her questions as if she's just asking you about your weekend. Listen to the whole question, pause, and then give your answer. You know, sometimes, this is true whether you're a Christian or not, sometimes it's just nice to have a pause, you know. It's just nice to catch our breath a little bit. It's nice for us to stop and say, wait a minute, I need to remember the reality of what's really going on in my life. I need to remember the reality that the way that I strengthen and straighten my life is sometimes just to pause. Sometimes just to catch my breath and look and listen at the reality of the gospel that's captured my heart. To remember what it means that Jesus Christ is designed by his very character and nature to be our greatest treasure. And when we do that, our minds will begin to remember, oh yeah, I am 100% in Christ. I will have a safe landing. Nothing can separate me from Jesus, and God loves me. And why is that so important? Why is it so important for us to be in the habit of strengthening ourselves, straightening ourselves up, resetting our spiritual bones with the great news of the gospel? Here's why. Verse 13. So that the limb which is impaired may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. The discipline and training of the Lord is not from some cosmic bully who's trying to throw all of our bones out of joint. It's from a good God who desires for us to be healed. But what kind of healing? See, that matters. Because we can say, oh, well, God's purpose is for me to be healed. Well, what kind of healing are we talking about? I've often quoted things from Vanitha Reisner. She has post-polio syndrome. It's a disease that has been significantly affecting her physically. She has a tremendous amount of suffering. It is increasing. Ultimately, it could lead to her being a quadriplegic. And she was talking to another believer one day and telling him her story of her disease and the impact and all the things that could happen. And in the middle of her sharing, he cut her off and he said this, "You need to stop talking about this right now. Just speaking of this diagnosis is agreeing with Satan, which might bring it into being. Suffering is never part of God's will. I know God just wants healing and wholeness for you." That's not true. Scripture doesn't say that in any way, shape, or form. And Vanitha went on. She said, "This conversation triggered a flood of painful memories in my life," because she'd been sick for a long time. And then she talks about them. "I was told by a faith healer in a crowded auditorium that I didn't have enough faith to be healed. I've been prayed over by strangers in places ranging from grocery stores to sporting events who were convinced that they could all heal me. All of these people asserted that if we agreed in prayer or if we bound Satan, I would be healed and the pain would end." That's not always true. You can't just strengthen and straighten pain in life by praying a magic prayer of health, wealth, and prosperity. That's not the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Never has been, never will be. But even in our suffering, there is great healing. In our pain, in our difficulty, in everything falling apart, there is great healing. Why? Because in a moment, our heart and our mind, the deepest part of who we are, can be healed with these facts. Dear Christian, you are 100% in Christ. You will have a safe landing. Nothing can separate you from Jesus, and you are loved by God. Vanitha went on to say this: we can take comfort in the fact that if God denies our earnest request, he has his reasons, maybe 10,000 reasons, and one day we will rejoice in them. We may not rejoice now, right? It may be hard now. We may not just be singing our praise to the Lord in the moment. It would be great if we could, as quickly as we could. But there is coming a day where his 10,000 reasons, to be honest, won't even matter, because we'll be with him. So our rejoicing won't be, oh, well, God had a plan. Our rejoicing will be, oh, God, here I am with the one who loves me because of his son. Vanitha goes on to say this about the true meaning of Easter. Suffering would not have the last word, and death would not hold him. Jesus' resurrection means a glorious ending to all of our earthly pain. Do you ever feel like your life is falling asleep a little bit? Do you ever feel tired and weary? Do you ever feel compressed and irritated, overwhelmed and full of difficulty in every part of your life? I cannot promise you that a magical prayer will make your pain end. But if your soul, your spirit, the deepest part of who you are, is 100% connected to Jesus Christ, I can promise you this: death did not hold him, and death will not hold you. Death did not hold Jesus. And dear Christian, it will not hold us. That will strengthen your bones. That will straighten your bones. That will reset your spiritual life. Death did not hold him. Death will not hold you. That means that one day, every single moment of discipline and training and pain and suffering and hurt, every single one of those pains will be healed, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you believe that?